much of Wisconsin's interstate highway system was built in the 1950s and 60s, and the bridges on the state trunk highway system can date back to the 1930s and 1940s. Since then, we're driving a whole lot more, and there are a lot more of us behind the wheel. We're talking about the transportation backlog in Wisconsin here on The Morning Show and what gubernatorial candidates want to do about it. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to TRIP, a national transportation research group who we'll be talking to later this hour, 81% of the commodities shipped to and from places here in Wisconsin are transported by trucks on the state's highways. Let's bring in Jessie Opoyan. She covers state government and politics for the Capital Times, and she's written several stories about positions Wisconsin gubernatorial candidates are taking on the gas tax. Jessie, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you, Kate. Good morning.
So before we go any further on this, what is the number? What is Wisconsin's tax on gasoline?
Wisconsin's tax on gasoline is 32.9 cents per gallon.
And what do we know behind that specific number? Has it changed much in recent years, or where are we at with that?
It has been quite some time since it has changed. That is primarily because lawmakers got rid of the practice of indexing the gas tax in 2005. That was an automatic increase every year tied to inflation, which is sort of one of the most palatable ways to raise the gas tax because no one actually has to take a vote to do so.
Before we get into indexing, Democrats have a wide field as they decide which candidate to run up against incumbent Governor Scott Walker. They're trying to differentiate themselves, pull away from the pack, but they seem to be in relative lockstep on the idea of increasing the gas tax. So what do we know?
Yeah, everyone agrees pretty much in the Democratic field and really even some Republicans that the state needs to raise revenue for roads projects. The question is how. And most of the Democrats who are running agree on sort of the basic principles of it, which is most of them are opposed to things like vehicle registration fees because they're seen as hitting sort of the most vulnerable population, poorer people who already need cars for transportation. Most of them are not fans of something that was included in the current budget, which was new fees on hybrid and electric vehicles. And from there, it's a lot of subtleties in terms of, some of them are interested in a small increase. Some of them are interested in a larger gas tax increase. Most of them are on board with bringing back indexing, which we'll talk about in a little bit. And then there are some other different proposals like raising fees on heavy trucks, which are, certainly damaging roads, probably more than like a smaller hybrid vehicle. But, not every candidate is in favor of that because, they need to be on the roads, too.
Right.
No matter what you do, you're going to hit someone is sort of the answer.
Well, Governor Walker has consistently opposed raising the gas tax. And this winter, we heard him kind of soften his stance maybe a bit. He said he could support hiking the gas tax, leaving a door slightly open, but only if it was part of a package that lowered taxes overall. So where does the governor stand on the transportation funding options?
Yeah, the governor has always held to the standard that he would not support any increase, basically anything that would amount to a tax or fee increase on Wisconsinites' budgets. So in the most recent state budget process, there was a lot of disagreement over this because we had some proposals that would have, in effect, raised the gas tax or applied the sales tax to the gas tax, things like that. The governor eventually said, no, I will actually veto any budget that includes any hike on gas tax or vehicle registration fees because he believed he could find enough savings within the transportation budget. So at the point we're at now, there's some talk with the federal infrastructure funding that states may need to chip in a little bit more to get their share of that if it comes through. That being said, the governor said, well, we again would consider doing that. We would again consider raising that gas tax only if it is tied to a corresponding decrease somewhere else in the budget.
Jessie O'Poyen is with us. She covers state government and politics for the Capital Times. She's been writing about what gubernatorial candidates think about raising the gas tax. Eight of them have said yes to such an idea. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Where should communities find the money to fix roads? Is the gas tax the answer? Do toll roads do any good? Maybe you see another fee or tax as an option. 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Jesse, let's talk about this indexing, because Wisconsin used to index the gas tax. What is indexing?
So indexing is it's just simply a process that automatically increases the gas tax each year based on inflation. Lawmakers like that in theory because it doesn't make them go take that vote every year that they need to increase the gas tax. If you're going to have construction projects, you need to fund them somehow. Lawmakers don't like things like borrowing, or then you can go to something like indexing where you just don't have to take that vote every year. So it was brought into the practice in Wisconsin with bipartisan support. It was a practice we had for about 20 years, and it was ushered away with bipartisan support as well.
And it's tied to an economic indicator, so there is some stability in that. What goes with the economy goes with the gas tax.
Exactly. As prices rise or fall, you've got something steady to go along with it.
Well, then 2005 comes along. Why did then-Governor Democrat Jim Doyle and state lawmakers do away with that indexing?
Well, there was a lot of pressure coming from the legislature and on both sides. Democrats were concerned that this had become just a way to inflate the budget every year, that too much money was going toward projects. And Republicans were concerned that this was driving up taxes. And it is. It does drive up taxes, in a smaller increment. And so this went away with really relatively no fight.
No fanfare.
Yeah, no fanfare. Yeah.
Do we know how high the gas tax would jump if we would start indexing again?
It would hop up about 0.8 cents per gallon. So not quite a full cent per gallon.
So not quite a full cent per gallon, but considering how often you fill up, those pennies could add up.
Those pennies could add up. They would add up for your pocketbook, and they would add up for the state's transportation budget.
So in what ways are Democratic gubernatorial candidates then laying out a vision for long-term funding for roads and bridges? Is there anything novel out there in the field?
Nothing especially unusual. We are seeing, a few of the candidates, Madison Mayor Paul Soglin and State Senator Kathleen Vinehout, are both saying start off with a 5 cent increase to bump things up, and then move on with indexing after that. Paul Soglin's also talked about tying registration fees to fuel efficiency. So if you have a more efficient car, you're going to end up potentially paying less, hoping that would spur people to, not only drive more fuel efficient cars, but maybe cars that are less hard on our roads. A few of the candidates are saying we'll just consider absolutely anything. Tony Evers and Representative Dana Walks have basically said all options are on the table at this point. A few of them have talked about getting rid of those, raising fees on the heavy trucks. Malin Mitchell is one who has said he opposes doing that. Mike McCabe, I think, has one of the more unusual proposals of a moratorium on building roundabouts, which is a controversial subject
in and of itself. Right. Saved for another program.
Yes,
another
we could talk
day.
For a whole hour about roundabouts. he's probably the only one out there on the roundabout issue.
So have Republicans resolved their differences? Because we saw that huge clash in the last session, a standoff on road funding. Are Republicans on the same side moving forward?
That remains to be seen. I would say no at this point. There's still a camp of Republicans who are pretty strongly opposed to raising revenue because they believe the way to cut costs and become more fiscally responsible is to find waste and find savings within the existing transportation budget. There are disagreements over whether bonding to pay for roads projects is more or less fiscally conservative than raising fees on users. I think we're still going to see some disagreements on that.
So at the end of the day, Wisconsin's roads and bridges continue to crumble. What are you watching for as this debate proceeds?
I mean, this is going to be, this issue doesn't go away, right? Construction projects get delayed or boosted based on the amount of money that's available in the transportation fund. So we're going to be watching to see which projects take priority. There are still fights over, depending which area of the state you're representing as a lawmaker, if your projects are getting funded, you know, whether you're happy or unhappy with the current situation. And, you know, this will come back with every budget until there's a longer term solution.
Well, Jesse, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Jesse Opoyan covers state government and politics for the Capital Times. She's been writing about how Wisconsin gubernatorial candidates are looking at the gas tax, raising it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Where should communities find the money to fix roads? Is the gas tax the answer? What about tolling? Maybe you see another fee or tax as an option. Call in, email ideas@wpr.org. When we come back, we'll talk with TRIP, the nonprofit transportation research organization. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. The nonprofit National Transportation Research Group, TRIP, based in Washington, has some new figures out on Wisconsin roads and highways this month. 9% of the state's bridges are structurally deficient, meaning there is significant deterioration to the major components of the bridge. 29% of our urban interstates are congested during rush hour. We're talking about the transportation backlog here in Wisconsin on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Rocky Moretti is Director of Policy and Research at the National Transportation Research Group, TRIP. Rocky, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right. So you look at roads and bridges all across America. How do you rate the state of our roadways today in general as you take a bird's eye view?
Well, if you look at Wisconsin, you mentioned some of those numbers, and I can add a few more. 42% of the major roads in the state are in poor condition. The traffic fatality rate on rural roads is about double what it is on all other roads in the state, and nearly 600 people per year, unfortunately, are being killed in traffic crashes. And in the Milwaukee and Madison area, the average motor spends about an extra 40 hours per year stuck in traffic. And in the last 3 years, we've seen an 8% increase in vehicle travel in Wisconsin. Well, that last part's a positive sign. It shows economic growth, and certainly there is a lot of economic growth happening in Wisconsin. But the challenge the state is facing is accommodating significant growth at the same improving safety and also maintaining the existing system. And the lack of addressing that, we pointed out in a report 2 years ago, is costing around $6 billion to the public. Yeah, that's the cost of driving on rough roads. It's the cost of the delays caused by congestion and the economic cost of traffic crashes. We're around $2,000 per driver in the Madison and Milwaukee area. So the state certainly faces some significant transportation challenges.
Well, certainly a lot of transportation challenges are clustered in urban areas. You mentioned Madison, Milwaukee, but 19% of Wisconsin's rural roads are in poor condition. 10% of the state's rural bridges are structurally deficient. So what is happening in rural areas on our roads and bridges?
Well, we point out in a report that we're actually just starting to put together, looking at Wisconsin, that 1.4 million jobs in the state are highly reliant on the quality of the transportation system. You're looking at tourism, manufacturing, but particularly the rural area, agriculture. So the rural system is heavily reliant on the quality of that system. And as you point out, there's some significant deficiencies. And as we also point out, that the traffic fatality rate across the country in rural America is much higher than in urban areas, and certainly that's true in Wisconsin as well.
So why is a robust system of roads important outside of our major cities?
The quality of a transportation system is really the backbone of the economy and really the quality of life in a region. And so you would expect and hope that you and your loved ones are driving on roads as safe as they can be. You would want the reliability of a transportation system that allows the agricultural sector, but really all business sectors, to have reliable access. And then obviously as individuals, we want the ability to get places in a reasonable amount of time. That brings economic vibrancy and gives us a lot of choices. And ultimately, we want to make sure that that system is maintained. And it's far more cost-effective to keep a system in relatively good shape than to let it deteriorate to the point where you have to go in and do very expensive repairs.
Well, we know Foxconn is on its way to Wisconsin, and that means infrastructure planning is really kicked into high gear in the southeastern part of the state. How should states weigh the needs of these really big economic development initiatives with the ongoing wear and tear on roads in other regions of the state?
Well, and this becomes an issue in states across the country. You have obviously your critical urban areas. You have your other communities, and it's a balancing act. As you're seeing in Wisconsin with Foxconn, the quality of infrastructure is vital to decisions in terms of business location. And so, you know, we're also seeing that as Amazon goes across the country looking for a location. The quality of infrastructure and the transportation system is very much linked into the desirability of a region. But Foxconn's not the only company or organization looking to expand or build facilities. And that's a big challenge in Wisconsin, where a number of major highway improvements in the last few years because of a lack of funding have been postponed or delayed. And so while some improvements are moving forward, a lot of very critical other projects have been put on the shelf for now, and that certainly is going to have economic implications in Wisconsin.
Well, what about for people's own pocketbooks? How should we consider the state of roads in relationship to our car repairs? What do we know about wear and tear on our cars and the cost of upkeep, and what is happening with roads right now?
Well, we did a report 2 years ago looking at this in Wisconsin, and we found that statewide rough roads were costing, you know, billions of dollars literally. But when you broke it down to individual motorists, it was over $900 in the Madison region. That was a function of what happens when roads are in poor condition. Of course, we drive across them, and we all know when we're on a rough road, and we feel it, but the vehicle feels it. And so what's happening, you know, you're using more fuel, tire wear is accelerated. But the most significant cost, even beyond routine repairs, is just the vehicle's depreciation. You know, that brand-new car that obviously you hope to hold on to for 10 or 12 years, if you lose a couple of years of good use because the rough roads are beating that vehicle up, obviously that's going to have real economic costs.
Wait, is that $900 a year? Break that $900 down.
Annual figure.
An annual figure. How does
that's
that...
right. And so,
yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Well, and we really use that number, and obviously it's an average. It's looking at the average amount of travel and using an average vehicle, and so those numbers could be a bit higher or lower per motorist. But it's really a way to monetize the fact that while public agencies are tasked with maintaining the transportation system, when they don't have the resources to do it adequately, it's the individual who pays the price.
We're talking with Rocky Moretti here on The Morning Show. He directs policy and research at the National Transportation Research Group, TRIP, that's based in Washington, D.C. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. What example can you share of the right way to support or upkeep roads and bridges? What do you see as a problem with the system we have in place right now? What is the solution do you see to repair the roads? You can call in at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Tom from Oconomowoc called in to say the vehicle tax should be based on the value of the car. Why doesn't Wisconsin consider this? So, Rocky, what do we know about vehicle taxes and how they go into roads in Wisconsin or in any other state?
Well, we just recently did an analysis of what's happened since 2000 in terms of states. States are responsible for raising probably just over half of all of the funds. The other sectors are, of course, the federal government and local governments, but the states are the biggest players in terms of investment in our roads and bridges. And we looked at over the last 15 years, and it was some very interesting numbers came out of that. One, the state gas tax, which in 2000 brought in 31% of overall revenue, had dropped to 19%. So its share had dropped fairly significantly. And also the federal share had dropped from 26% to 23%. Where we saw the increases were more creative types of fees that were collected for transportation. Unfortunately, we also saw a lot more bonding, which essentially is borrowing money. And while it may be usable or helpful in the short term, in a state like Wisconsin, where it's now 20% of all transportation fees go to pay off bond debt, it can become a challenge if it gets to that high a level. And registration fees on vehicles were now about 16% of that. So what we're seeing is states looking to bring in additional transportation resources with some sort of fees on people using the system being the most critical source of funding.
Let's go to Connor waiting in Cumberland. Hi, Connor. Are you there, Connor? Oh, Connor is not there. So, you know, Rocky, Wisconsin isn't the only state that is facing these issues with a huge roads backlog. How do we stack up and compare to other states who might face similar circumstances?
We've seen since 2013, I think partly born of a realization that at the federal level, certainly there's some discussion, at least from this administration, of additional federal funds. I think the recognition at the state level is by and large, it's up to states to solve their own transportation funding challenges. What we've seen since 2013 is a huge movement of state legislatures moving forward with significant transportation funding packages. 27 states have moved forward with these significant packages. Unfortunately, Wisconsin hasn't been one of them. But if you look at those 27 states, 23 of them had significant increases in their motor fuel taxes. 10 of those were indexed in some fashion to make sure that those funds stayed adequate. We saw 5 states increase registration fees, and another 6 have added also fees on electric and hybrid vehicles. But also we have to recognize that as CAFE standards continue to increase and we see more efficiency in terms of fuel use, which is certainly a positive from an environmental standpoint, it tends to diminish the long-term ability of fuel taxes. They're very helpful and very critical probably for the foreseeable future. But again, we have to recognize their limitations.
Connor in Cumberland is back. Connor, hi. Can you hear us now?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Perfect. So here's my concern with the fuel tax. I drive semi for a small company in southwest Wisconsin, and we, as a small company, there's a lot of fees to pay in this industry, you know, between all of your vehicle registration for all of your trucks, all of your trailers, you know, any possible scale fees. And then you add in the fact that, I mean, the truck that I drive takes almost 200 gallons of fuel. So it tends to add up pretty quick.
You're saying trucking is bearing the brunt of these costs.
Yeah, I think we are. And the fact of the matter is, trucks, by and large, carry just about everything that anyone buys.
Connor, some really good points here. Let's pose that to Rocky. Go ahead, Rocky.
Well, you know, it sounds like what the caller is suggesting is that he's certainly willing to pay his fair share. It's just how do you determine what that fair share is? And that's why some states now are also looking, in addition at fuel fees, looking further into the future. As some vehicles may be, using far less fuel, maybe you start to look at a way to also have people pay fees based on mileage driven. You know, the challenge, some states now are moving into pilot programs to do it in a way that that motorists are comfortable with, that their privacy is protected. But as this caller's pointed out, you know, it addresses the equity issue. And ultimately, I think that states and the public and businesses are saying they're willing to pay their fair share, you know, as long as, you know, they see the benefit. Obviously, there's whole business model depends on the transportation system, but they want to be sure that the way those fees are charged is equitable. And then you've got states like Florida that are also looking at things. They have fees on car rentals. They actually have a real estate transaction fee that goes into transportation. So they're recognizing that there may be other sectors of the economy that clearly benefit from the transportation system. So that may be a way to bring in additional fees, but do it in a way that's equitable.
Going back to vehicles becoming more efficient, you mentioned CAFE standards on vehicles impacting the amount of dollars we have for roads. Remind us what those are.
In terms of
you said CAFE standards.
Sure. I'm sorry. Yeah, that was a little bit of
that's inside baseball, Rocky. Right. Yeah.
These are basically requirements that vehicles in the future become significantly more fuel efficient. They're still in place. They could be certainly tinkered with by Congress. But as they go in place, and certainly we all see the environmental benefit of vehicles having better fuel efficiency, but that is part of the reason why we've seen the share of state funding from their state gas taxes drop from 31% to 19%. And even as a lot of states have moved to increase these fees, in many cases, the increase in fuel fees was just to get them back to where they were 10 years ago. And so recognizing the diminishing return of fuel fees, again, not to say that states shouldn't be raising them to at least hold on to that funding source, we're probably going to have to be more creative in how we bring in those resources to fund our transportation system.
Let's go to Tim waiting in Eau Claire. Hi, Tim.
Hi. I'd like to talk about quality of roads, specifically the disparity of quality of roads closer you get to Madison and Milwaukee. Up here in Eau Claire, just 20 minutes outside of town, there's gravel roads all over the place. And you get, you know, bridges that have exposed rebar and rust. And then you start getting closer and closer to Madison, and even the county roads that cross the interstate have beautiful architectural details and seem to be in quite good shape.
So Tim is seeing a wide disparity between rural and urban areas. Rocky?
Well, part of that goes to you know, who's maintaining the system. You know, a lot of these are going to be state-maintained, but I would imagine the majority of them are maintained by local governments. We know when we do our reports, especially in rural and local areas, that local governments are facing huge challenges just holding on to their transportation system and preventing further deterioration. In some cases, we have county and local governments having to allow some of their roads to revert to gravel because they don't have the resources to maintain that. Now, in most states, state governments also provide some assistance to local governments, but typically it's nowhere near enough.
According to the American Society of Civil Engineers, Wisconsin now has the third worst road conditions in the U.S. More than a quarter of Wisconsin roads are in poor shape. We're talking about the state of transportation, the repairs backlog here in Wisconsin, how to fix it. Rocky Moretti stays with us on the morning show. He directs policy and research at the National Transportation Research Group, TRIP. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What examples can you share of the right way to support upkeep for roads and bridges? Where do you see a problem with the system we have right now in place? And what solutions do you see to repair the roads? Call in your stories as well. How have roads made an impact on your vehicle? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll get back to the conversation after a news update on the Ideas Network.